much for tuning in to another episode of Java with Josh. I'm your host, legislator Josh Lafazan. Today we have a really exciting show with the CEO of the Superfan company, Kim Kaup, joining us. As we say every week, having big dreams is common, but figuring out how to achieve those dreams is rare. On this show, we interview some truly incredible people to share their journeys to success and give you the tools to reach your dreams. So grab your cup of Java and let's go. Welcome to the show, Kim Kaup. Kim, we're so excited to have you here. Kim is the co-founder and CEO of the Superfan Company, a fan engagement agency focused on creating one-of-a-kind products and programs for entertainers, brands, and celebrities. Since starting the company, her all-female team has collaborated with A-list properties such as Oprah, the New York Mets, Kiss, Shawn Mendes, and Paul McCartney. Kim, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
So the Superfan Company sounds amazing, but for our audience listeners who are meeting you for the first time, what is the Superfan Company? And tell us more about what you do.
So at the heart of it, we are a fan engagement agency. And if you're sitting there going, what the heck does that mean? That means that we make sure that fans are having a super great time and that they are falling in love with their favorite music artists, their favorite sports teams, their favorite brands, and giving them tangible, fun things to be excited about.
Well, that sounds amazing. How does one become the CEO of the Superfan Company? Are you a super fan yourself? Right. How did you go from zero to one and start this thing?
I'm a super fan of a lot of things. I think the thing that I'm a super fan of now more than ever is really getting out there and telling people that they can do it too. I've really sort of transitioned in the last 6 months to trying to teach as much as possible, trying to give back as much as possible. Because if there's one thing that I realized when I started the company 9 years ago, there just were not a lot of resources out there. And there were a lot of resources in terms of success stories, like the Richard Bransons, the Mark Cubans, the Bill Gates. Yes, everyone's heard their stories. They are incredible. But you finish hearing their stories and you're like, okay, well, none of that applies to me. Like none of the advice they gave about leading teams, like I have no team. I'm like one human who thinks this is a good idea. And so I really couldn't find a lot for that specific, like that very, very early stage kind of I have an idea time. And so I've really spent the last couple months trying to put out as much content as possible for those people who are just now thinking like, maybe I could be an entrepreneur, or maybe I have an idea, or maybe there's something in the back of my head that I've been thinking about for a long time. And I am fully in the camp of like, come copy my homework. Like it's totally cool. You can learn from all of my mistakes. And that way they don't cost you, you know, tens of thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours when I can just be like, here, copy my homework. Then you don't have to do all this stuff.
Well, I love how, you know, dedicated you are to giving back to the next generation. And, you know, a lot of our listeners are young people who have ideas for a company or for an enterprise. So can you take us back? You know, you're a full-fledged celebrity, without a doubt, whether or not you admit that you were an absolute celebrity, but take us back to when, you know, you're in high school and you're in college, you have this idea. How did you start? I believe it was Zinepack or Zinepack?
Zinepack, yeah.
So
and it started Googling, like literally Googling, like how to start an LLC, like how to buy a URL, and you know, started the company in 2011. So this was before, you know, super awesome websites like Wix and Squarespace. You know, now you can build a website with a couple clicks, but 9 years ago it was like, I don't know how to code, I don't know how to build a website, how am I supposed to do that? And so a lot of it was YouTube videos, Googling. Now there are such great resources like the Next Gen Group. And also I have a couple courses out on LinkedIn that are exactly what they sound like, entrepreneurship foundations courses. So it's, you know, hours of content about things that you should avoid, things that you can be doing to kind of help you get started. So I would say the best step if you're thinking about entrepreneurship or maybe you already have an idea is literally consume as much knowledge as possible. I think I started out and that was a huge mistake for me. I thought I was a snowflake and I thought everything that I did was unique. and you're not a snowflake, you're not special, none of your problems are special. Other people have had those problems too. And so just figure out how they solve them and then you can do the same thing.
Well, I love that advice in terms of not recreating the wheel, but looking to others who have achieved, and then soaking in that information. And of course, it's great to see somebody like you who's, gotten up the rungs of the ladder and now are reaching your hand down to bring the next person up. But I want to dive deeper because, I consider myself a huge fan of country. I know we have a lot of super fans here. Tell us a little more, if you're a super fan, what is the super fan company and what does it mean for us and how can we get involved? Because it sounds pretty cool. And I think everyone in their hearts are a super fan of something.
Everyone's definitely a super fan of something, whether it's a sports team you love or you only drink Starbucks coffee or you only fly Delta or you think your mom's spaghetti is the best spaghetti, whatever it is, you are a super fan of something. And so for us, we work about 75% of our clients are in music. So that can be individual artists or groups. We work with a wide range. It's everybody from Paul McCartney and Phil Collins down to Kidz Bop and Katy Perry. So it really runs the gamut. And what we do is we work with these artists to say, how can we come up with really cool products that your fans can buy that are not sort of the generic t-shirt, hat, but like maybe it's a 100-page interactive coffee table book, or maybe it's some kind of exclusive date night set. How do we create products that for a super fan, they're going to be like, yes, this is definitely something that is unique and cool. And I want that.
So I love that. I think it's really wonderful. What has COVID looked like for the super fan company? Because, people's fandom, even if they can't go to a concert, it doesn't stop. So what does your company look like during COVID?
Not surprisingly, a lot of our stuff has moved to at home. What can we do for people at home or that they can get in their homes? Because not a lot of people are going out, venturing <Right. laughs> out of their homes, not really happening right now. So a lot of our stuff has transitioned to at home. And how do we make people feel like they're part of a community and feel like they're part of a fan base, even though maybe physically they are not, in a crowd of 10,000 people listening to Luke Bryan.
Understood. And have you seen, shifts and trends, during COVID in terms of what people are becoming fans of, or, as a certain entertainer, I know at the beginning of COVID, people were using Instagram for Instagram Live. So have you seen shifts and trends in the industry?
I think what we've seen now, here we are, 6 months or 7 months into this crazy pandemic. I think what we've really seen for us is, the first couple months of the pandemic, to your point, everyone was on live streams, Instagram streams, Facebook Lives, et cetera. And then I think what we're really experiencing now is kind of phone fatigue, if that makes any sense, or screen time fatigue. I think now that people are, on their computers from, let's say, 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. working remotely, or even your kids, if you have kids in the house who are doing school, remote school from 8 a.m. until 4, kind of the last thing you want to do after staring at a screen for 8 hours is stare at a screen even more. So I think we've seen a lot of resurgence around what can people do that's not online, an experience that doesn't involve a screen, because quite frankly, I think a lot of us, myself included, by the way, are just completely screened out. Like I've rediscovered card games, puzzles, Catan, like all sorts of things, because just at the end of the day, the last thing I want to do is look at a screen.
Totally, totally understood. And yeah, I think we're all feeling the same way. I know Zoom fatigue, is big in turn. And I teach at Long Island University, and I'm excited to be back in person. Even though it's a little more risky, I'm excited to be back in person teaching my kids. But I want to shift gears, because obviously you started this amazing company. You have this amazing product. What does a typical day in the life of Kim Kalpa look like? As the CEO and co-founder of the Superfan company, not only in terms of leading your team, but you create a lot of content, and I know you speak and you do Coffee with Kim. What does a typical day in the life of Kim Kalpa look like?
I would say I've tried to restructure my days, and I wish I would have done this earlier as an entrepreneur. So if you're new, please hear me out on this. A lot of times you get stuck in the weeds and you get stuck in the details, and you work in the business instead of on the business. And I really create dedicated time now to work on the business. So what that looks like is, if I have a Monday through Friday in my calendar, I either block out entire days. Normally they're Mondays or Fridays. And that is purely looking ahead. What is the next 6 months or a year going to look like? And how do I make sure I'm working on the big things? Because the truth of the matter is there's always going to be immediate things. There's always going to be fast fixes, but then you're kind of putting out the fires as they come instead of thinking bigger and thinking long-term. So I would say batching my days to really make physical time for that, because I used to just say, oh yeah, you know, I'll think about next quarter over the weekend, or oh yeah, I'll think about it next week. And what I really found is, just like this meeting with you and I, or, you know, meeting with my creative director, I actually have to block it out on my calendar. Like, no, Kim, you're going to spend 3 hours on Monday from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock thinking about holiday or thinking about Q1 2021. And that time is so valuable. And so if anybody needs a recommendation on how to kind of wrap their mind around this concept, if you haven't read The E-Myth, it's a fantastic book. There's another one called The E-Myth Revisited, which is an updated version. I highly, highly recommend it because it talks about this mindset a lot.
Well, I just put that book on my reading list because any literature you tell me to consume, I'm absolutely going to listen. And I know you're one of the busiest people I know. So, you know, even somebody as busy as you can block off that time, just to think. Think ahead. You know, what's interesting is, you know, you've achieved so much at such a young age, and yet you continue to grow and you continue to be open about growing. What's the biggest challenge you have in your specific role right now? And how do you think you're going to overcome it?
I think the biggest challenge that I face right now, and I think probably a lot of people face this, is really how to scale myself. So I wish someone would create a clone device and I could clone myself, or if any Harry Potter fans are out there, Hermione had that like time necklace that she could kind of go back and do the day all over again, but it's really hard to scale yourself. And so what I've really started to work on lately, I just hired my first virtual assistant about 6 months ago. DM me or email me if you have questions. I'm obsessed. I'm totally sold. I should have done it years ago, but really saying, okay, how can I get some of this stuff off my plate? How can I teach somebody else to kind of think like I think in a small way, kind of clone myself? But I think really thinking about how to scale your own physical time is one of the biggest hurdles I think that everyone faces, but I've been focusing on it a lot more lately.
Well, I think that's really wonderful in terms of maximizing, you know, your day and your time to make sure you're focusing on what makes you most efficient. You know, so you're continuing to grow the Superfan company. So it's gone from Zinepack to the Superfan company. But the brand of Kim Kaup has continued to grow as well. Where do you see Kim Kaup in 10 years?
In a perfect world, I would love to see accessing and helping millions of people. You know, I think that there's one thing I've really taken hold of in the past couple of years, which is if you can't see it, you can't be it. And it's why everybody loved Chadwick in Black Panther. You know, that was such a representation of, you know, an entire group of people who felt like they didn't see themselves on screen. And I've realized that in the entrepreneurial world, there are not a lot of females. There just aren't, sadly. So I've really wanted to take up the stick of saying, how do I talk to more people? How do I talk to more young people and say, if you are a female, and even if you never thought you'd be an entrepreneur, because quite frankly, that was me. I call myself an accidental entrepreneur because I never planned on this. You know, telling people my story and saying like, this could be you too. So I think in 10 years, if I could do that at scale, that would be freaking awesome.
Well, I have no doubt. I don't think anybody who knows you for 5 minutes has any doubt that you can't do anything you put your mind to. But one of the things that I find most altruistic about you, you know, you have a commitment to helping everyone, but specifically to help lift up female entrepreneurs, I think is really noble. I'm assuming you've had some mentors in this space who were female entrepreneurs, but can you talk a little bit about who were a few people who helped you get to where you were as mentors, and how do you advise others to best find mentors in their lives?
I love mentorship. I think it's so critical. I would say I have two groups of mentors, one who actually know I exist and a group that has no idea I exist. And what I mean by that is I follow people like Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx, on, you know, LinkedIn and Instagram. And I'm constantly, you know, consuming all of the content and learning lessons that she puts out. And I view her as a mentor. Now, she has no idea who I am or, you know, what I do, but I view her in that way. And I think that's the beauty of social media, is that we can have so many mentors, whether it's Gary Vee or, you know, some of these other more outspoken leaders in the field, that it can feel like a mentor, even though they don't actually know you. And then this other group of humans that actually know I exist and that we can have coffee. Even within that subset, I definitely have the more traditional mentors that are older than me, that maybe have been through something similar before. And then in the past couple of years, I've really gotten a lot out of mentors in the same age group as me, quite frankly, which I think sometimes you think of mentors as like the older wisdom, but I even find that people my age, you know, we all come from different walks of life. We all have different experiences and journeys that I find that I learn a lot at conferences or at networking events. And it's from people who are my own age that become friends. And then I see them as friends and mentors all wrapped into one.
So I love that, because you're consuming information from literally everywhere. The question I get all the time, you know, people DM me on Instagram or they reach out to me and say, you know, Josh, you know, how do I, like, you know, politics, for example, you can't just reach out to Barack Obama. We'd all love for him to be our, you know, our best friend and big brother, but it's just not going to happen. So, you know, if you're a young person, let's say, you know, you're 19, 20 right now, and you want to find a mentor in the space, how do you go about it?
These are the three things I would absolutely do. And I would say it's probably a 90% success rate. Not kidding. Number one, follow that person on every medium that they exist on. LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it is, you find that human, you follow them on everything. Number two, you consume their content and you start responding to it. Great article, Janet. That was really helpful, Mark. Here's a follow-up question. And what that really does is it makes the other person familiar with you. Like, oh, you know, oh, this person responded. They responded again. Oh, here they are the next week. And then sort of like dating, you have a couple weeks of that, you know, okay, we're getting, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. And then number three, you actually reach out with a specific ask. So whether that specific ask is, hey, Barack Obama, don't do that to Barack. He has no time for you. But like, you know, someone could say to you, hey, Josh, I follow you. You know, I think the way you got into politics is so interesting. What's a podcast that you recommend I listen to? What's a book you recommend that I read? What's an article or a newsletter or a resource that you follow? 9 times out of 10, if it's a quick question like that, someone's going to write you back. Here's a book, here's a podcast, here's a newsletter, whatever. Then you go and do that homework, you read that thing, you listen to that thing, you do whatever they say, and then you respond to that again and say, that was such a great recommendation. I love that book. Really been following you for a couple months or weeks or whatever it is now. Love all the insight you put out. And then you put in your big ask. So maybe that's, are you looking for interns, or would you be open to a 20-minute phone call, or, you know, a very specific ask. So I would say that is the best step, the best kind of process to go through. I think a lot of people just go straight to the ask. And, you know, I had a great conversation with Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur, about this a couple of weeks ago, where people will just send him emails saying like, can you please feature my company in Entrepreneur, as if they're ordering like a hamburger, like, I'll have fries with that and a side of mayo. And he's like, no, what, who are you? And so really kind of creating a relationship first before you go straight into the ask is super important.
Well, I love that, because, you know, I'm sitting here and laughing. I'm sure your email inbox, just like mine, gets filled to the brim in terms of someone will, you know, inbox me saying, you know, I want to run for office. Well, that's really wonderful. As opposed to somebody saying, I want to run for office, you know, where did you learn to write speeches, or, you know, et cetera. So I think that specific ask is really important. And I think you're really giving, you know, great advice in terms of people are busy, but they want to help. I mean, I'm assuming for your whole life, you've just been a helper and just wanted to help. Like, this is not new.
Totally. And my friend Cassie brought up a great point the other day. She said the fastest way to get answers is to ask yes or no questions. And so when you do get somebody who's really busy or whatever, you know, yes or no, or like one book, because I've literally DM'd people and said, hey, I really like this article. What's a good book, you know, that talks about this subject more? And, you know, people don't have time to like write a whole paragraph, but they'll write back a book title. You know, they'll write back Never Split the Difference. If you ask what's a good negotiation book, you know, people have time to do those quick little things.
Well, I love that. And to me, I think what's great about you, Kim, is that you're naturally gregarious in terms of, you know, what you see is what you get. And I think it's really wonderful because I've known you, I mean, I've known you since you've been a celebrity, but I've known you for all these years as a celebrity. You have not changed, which I think is wonderful. And I want to ask you, because you're meeting everyone, it seems. You're doing coffee with Kim. Like, you have so much information upstairs. What are you curious about right now? Or like, what are you looking to learn more of? Because I know you are a voracious consumer of literature like I am, but like, what are you really curious about right now? And I'll tell you, if you want to think of an answer, I'm really curious about, you know, I say it on every show, epidemiology and public health, especially because we're in a pandemic. I wanted to learn about the last pandemic. So I am consumed and obsessed with epidemiology and pandemics, but there's got to be something that's on your mind.
I think something that's been on my mind lately is really how to build up like your mental muscle. And I really think it is like a muscle, and boy, has this pandemic been quite a workout in mental strength to deal with this. But I know, you know, one of the things that I dealt with pretty heavily at the beginning of the pandemic, and it's been a great learning lesson, and in some weird cosmic way, maybe it was meant to be, who knows. But if anybody listening to this has been like me, you might have gone into what I call like what if spirals. So you're like, what if I go left? What if I go right? What if I zig? What if I zag? And you just kind of go into these like what if spirals, and you don't sort of stop and say, wait a second, what is true? So, because those what if spirals are like your own projections of what a situation could be. And instead just saying, what is true? Like, what do I actually know for a fact right now? And then how can I personally react that moving forward? And because when you start to try to predict people or predict situations, you know, how are the holidays going to work? How am I going to fly home? What about grandma? What are we going to do? And you sort of get into these like crazy spirals, whether it's in business or your career or your family or your work, and really just saying, okay, what is true? You know, it's September. Let's figure out September. Let's not so much worry about December and what we're going to do for the holidays. Like, let's focus on what's in front of us.
Well, I think mental discipline is really important, especially considering the fact that we're spending more time online, so we can get sucked into whether it's a subreddit or whether it's you're on Pinterest or obviously you're browsing the Superfan Company. You can get sucked into hours and hours. So having that mental discipline to stay sharp, I think, is important. And it leads me to ask, what makes you feel inspired, or what makes you feel like your best self? Because I'm sure, you know, even in Kim Kapp's world, there are good days and there are bad days. Even though you smile throughout this entire episode like I have, there are good days and there are bad days. But what makes you feel inspired or like your best self?
I mean, I definitely have poopy days. Everybody does. And if they don't have crap days, then they're totally lying to you and they shouldn't be your friend anyways. And I think what I have tried to do more of in the past couple months, and honestly, it ends up making me feel better, is I've really started to share the shit, like really started to share on Instagram stories or on LinkedIn posts or whatever, you know, here's a time I failed, or today was really bad, or this didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. And I find that sometimes letting down the curtain a little bit and really letting people know, ugh, today sucked. You know, even getting messages from people I got one this morning of someone saying, I needed to hear this. You know, I was going through the same thing last week, and it was just so refreshing to hear that you were kind of thinking the same thing. And so I think in a weird way, the more you share about the not so great stuff, the more positivity and honesty you get from other people. So it sounds weird because you're like, oh, should I be putting out, you know, this not so great content or putting out this kind of depressing Debbie Downer content, but in a weird way, it's actually turned super positive. So that's been an interesting experiment for me.
Well, I just jotted down share the shit because I love that. I think it's hysterical in terms of just being real with people and just being vulnerable. And there's a courage, and I tell my interns all the time, there's a courage in being vulnerable. It is not easy to be vulnerable, but when you are, it's easier for somebody to reciprocate that vulnerability. And speaking of, you mentioned failure. Can you talk, you know, about something you failed at and a lesson you took from it? And I want to preface here, we talk a lot on this show about failure. Failure is not a bad thing. It's not something we should welcome, but it's not something that is, it's something that is inevitable. So could you talk about something you failed at and a lesson you took from it?
I failed at a lot of things, but I've tried to spend a really big part of my time when I have a failure getting to the root of the why, because the why can sometimes be like an onion. It's layer after layer after layer of like, why did this go wrong, or what happened, or what were the factors? And honestly, a lot of times what I find that when I think about, okay, Kim, so it's kind of like when you're in school and you get a math problem wrong. You put 2 + 2 = 5. Okay, maybe you should practice more. Maybe you should get a tutor. Maybe you should ask the teacher for help so that next time you'll know that 2 + 2 = 4. And what I realized in a lot of scenarios is the core of what I could have done differently, or what I could have, you know, really improved upon, is asking for help. Honestly, not enough entrepreneurs and not enough young people in general ask for help. It's a pride thing. Sometimes we're embarrassed. Sometimes we think that people will think less of us, or that as young people, we are trying to prove that we're not the entitled millennials that everybody thinks we are. And so you want to be better than they think you are, and smarter and faster and stronger. And the truth of the matter is, then you don't want to ask for help. But then I found that most of the times, if you ask for help, it can, I'm not saying solve the problem, you'll definitely still have failures, but at least you'll have some sort of outside opinion that might possibly maybe help prevent a failure. And so I think asking for help, and again, whether that's within your network of other entrepreneurs and other founders and other young people, or that's to your mentors, but again, sharing the shit and saying like, I'm having a problem with this, or, oh my gosh, this deal is going south really quickly. Like, what do you think I should do? Instead of just wallowing in your own aloneness and saying, oh, this deal is going south and I'm going to fail and this is going to be so bad. And so I think, again, if I could look back at a lot of my failures, which there have been many, a lot of times I think if I had just asked for help, I'm not saying I would have avoided every failure, but I think I would have definitely avoided like 40% of them.
Well, I love that you're talking about asking for help. I talk about it all the time. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. And I feel like our generation has been told, you know, if you ask for help, you know, somehow, you know, you are less than. I think it's actually a sign of strength, because you're showing you have the humility to say, I don't know this, but if you teach me, I'm going to know it, and I'm going to know it better than anybody. So I want to say thank you for hitting on that. And it leads me to this last question, which we ask every one of our guests. And if you want to take a second to think about it, most important question of the day. If you had one piece of advice to give to your younger self, what would it be and why? You've learned so much. You are going to learn so much. But if you had that one piece of advice to give to your younger self, what would it be and why?
It's actually something that I've been practicing now more than ever. But if I could get in a time machine and go back 10 years and tell this to myself, it would be to really celebrate the wins. I think that if you're an entrepreneur, or if you're a competitive person, I played sports in high school and in college, you're always on to the next game. You know, great, that was game one, but now we're on to game two, or now I'm practicing for game three, or how are we going to make it to the championships? And, you know, there's always another goal, and which is great because you're competitive and you want to be the best and you want to keep getting better, but you sort of forget to celebrate the wins. And it's like when people ask me, you know, where were you when you first hit $1 million in business? Or, you know, what was it like when you hired your first employee? And what's funny is like, I can kind of remember, but you would think now going back, if we hit $1 million in revenue, I would have planned like a party with balloons and sparklers and been like, yes, we're celebrating, we got there. But at the time I was, you know, it was like, okay, we got a cupcake, we celebrated as a team for 20 minutes, and now it's boom, 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 on to the next. And I think if I could get back in a time machine, I would tell myself to really kind of be present and celebrate those big wins, and that the other goals are always going to be there. There's always going to be another hill to climb. There's always going to be another trophy to win. So just enjoy the trophies when you do win them, because you're really going to want to remember those.
So to everyone listening, celebrate the wins. I am going to get that made up on a billboard, because I love that every day. And you know, big moments, just to be present in life. And I think you're a real inspiration to so many to live life to the fullest and give back, because there's nothing better in life than helping out somebody else. And honored to call you a friend. Excited to see where the future will take you. I know that great things are in store for you. And thanks for being such a wonderful inspiration. Kim Kapp, thanks for being on Java with Josh.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in. And thank you to Kim Kapp for an amazing conversation. Next week, we have singer Michelle Medoff joining us. Make sure to click subscribe to our podcast and check us out on Instagram and Facebook for videos and bonus features. I'd also love to hear your questions and comments. Feel free to shoot me an email at josh@joshlafazan.com. I'm legislator Josh Lafazan, and thanks for joining us for Java with Josh.